Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey.
Oh, hey, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. Still here with lovely Max.
So I wanted to kick the second part of the episode off. I don't know if Max remembers this, but we had a bit of a run-in years ago.
Who did we had a run-in?
We had a Twitter spat.
Did we?
No, you didn't, did you? This is hilarious. Did you actually?
Probably.
Yeah, we did. No, because we were at some event, I think, and I think we were walking. We were being guided around. I can't remember what it was, but I said, "Is that JLS?" Max got very annoyed and he tweeted at me saying, Francis Bull has no dick.
No, right. Mate, was
that's,
this,
that's
was
a
this
genius. A, that's a genius was
this,
response.
Was this at a gig? Was this at a gig that we did?
No, it was. I don't know what it was. It was like some sort of thing. But
is that
JLS,
what I said? You have no.
JLS were there as well. I said, Bull oh, has is that no JLS? Dick. And then you guys were really annoyed because I mistook you for JLS, where I didn't know that you were the Wanted.
They're quite different, the bands, JLS and the Wanted.
Yeah, but I at the time I didn't know who either of them were. No offense.
No offense saying that you had no dick, because I'm sure you do. You know, that's just.
I love that response.
I remember that we were talking about this episode, and I was like, I know. I swear I met, or you know, something happened with him. And then I remembered, and then I looked it up and saw the tweet. You've still got the tweet up there saying I've got no dick. It's fine.
Oh my God. Fine. Listen, go to our social media at Private Podcast and you can go and check out the picture of the tweet. That is the funniest response I've ever
had. Francis, sorry, mate. You're a lovely guy.
It said, made in Chelsea's Francis Bull, hashtag no dick, I think.
I hashtagged it.
You hashtagged it.
That's really cutting deep. That's getting people on board.
Just to get up in the rankings.
Oh my God. Well, I to be honest though, you did think we were JLS, so I'm not sure I fully apologise.
Yeah, I should apologise.
No, it's all right. I mean, I don't apologise either. It's fine.
Okay. But Max, I want to hear more. So when you were in LA doing your stuff, did you like LA, or did you like the place? Because when I was filming out there, I found it a bit lonely, LA.
Did you? No, I actually loved it. I liked the pace of it.
Jamie didn't like because you weren't really known there, Jamie. It was just like a...
Do you know what? Actually, you say that. If you were famous in LA, it would be a very cool place to be, because that's what sort of money is. If you're famous, then people love you. Isn't that right, Maxie? What do you say?
Yeah, the reception I got was always really nice there, but really, like, look, everyone was cool. Yeah. Like, because I lived there and I lived on Sunset, I was always just on Sunset. So it felt really cool, like, that you almost felt like you had, everyone was your mate there for me. I know you say it felt lonely, but for me, Like when I'd walk and I'd get up dead early every morning and go and walk around and have a coffee because I actually liked talking to homeless people.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why? For what reason?
I don't know. Like I found I felt for them too. I found them quite like fascinating and the stories and where they've been and stuff. So
and
like,
how they got there.
Yeah, and how they got there and where they were from and yeah. But like people would just be like, "Hey, Max, you all right?" Like as if they sort of knew you personally. And I thought that was really nice.
Yeah,
that's quite a northern thing as well. I think I feel like you know, in the south that doesn't happen at all, but in the north of the UK, I feel like it's a lot friendlier. Everyone sort of says hi to each other. Do you find that
everyone's more helpful up there in the north?
Yeah, like I love it up here. I love the people in Manchester. Like that's I'd say I still, even though I love the people in LA and stuff, I missed home and the way people are here and the pubs as well. Because there's nothing like an atmosphere in a pub here, like, and people just chat. You can talk to anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's so true.
So yeah, I did miss that.
But hang on, but so you did Glee, because I don't know this about you. You did Glee, and then you finished Glee, obviously. And then when did you decide to come back home? Because obviously you're living in LA. You've done Glee. This is quite exciting.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a sort of thing where you would think that you would still be there.
So after Glee, that's when it hit me. That's when I started feeling really sort of bad about what I'm doing with my life. Yeah. So I had like a 3-month period where I couldn't even go out of my apartment without being sick. Like I couldn't walk. Yeah. My head was spinning. So I ended up in hospital having tests and scans on my brain, all sorts. I did not know what was wrong with me. It was crazy. And apparently it was all down to being I guess depressed because and it wasn't anything specific. That was what was frustrating me, because I was like, I feel okay. I know that I'm in a bit of a rut in terms of what do I do next, but I got out of that within a week last time. Like I knew that wasn't going to happen, but I knew that I had a great family. I've been very lucky to be where I was and fortunate to then get even more work after The Wanted and being Glee. I was living in LA. It was like a dream come true. So I was like, right, sort yourself out. And nothing, it just wouldn't work. So anyway, the doctors put me on stuff over there. And to be fair, that did help, but I came off it because I didn't want to get in the mindset of, if you go 6, 7, 8 months taking stuff, you're going to think that you can't be you without it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but Maxie, it's amazing that you're being open about this stuff. And we talk a lot about this on Pride Month, because I'm very open with my experience of anxiety and different things and all that kind of stuff. And what's so interesting, I think, is that, you know, people would look at you and they would say exactly that. You're in The Wanted, you're now in LA, you're now doing Glee, you're doing all these things. Surely you should be on top of the world. You have a loving family. Mm. But actually, you know, sort of anxiety or depression or any sort of mental health can hit you at any time. Doesn't matter it's what you're living through, right?
No.
And it's what's really scary is it probably hit you and you were like, what the hell is wrong with
you? Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. So I remember the first morning I woke up. I was absolutely fine the day before, like normal. Woke up one morning and my jaw had seized up and I thought somehow in my sleep I got locked jaw because like I felt like I couldn't move my mouth. And then, so I was like, right, obviously I've nicked something in my jaw or something. So I had some paracetamol. The next day, it was the same. And then I went to the doctor thinking, and he was like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your jaw or any, there's nothing wrong with you. And that's when I started thinking, well, it must be in my head then.
Yeah, you get these obsessive thoughts.
Yeah, and so, then I came home for Christmas, had more opinions from doctors here, had brain scans and all that. Nothing showed up on that. And they agreed that it was sort of anxiety, depression, that kind of thing. And then one morning I woke up and because I couldn't do any exercise without being sick.
Really?
And I woke up one morning, it was about 3-4 months into this, and I was in Manchester, I was at my dad's house, and I woke up and my head was completely clear. And like, I couldn't believe it, that it had gone. And I remember just sitting there, like, I just like sort of like cried to myself because I was like, I just felt like me again. I was like, what's happened? Oh. And then I just went downstairs and I felt like my life could start again. It was
what
it
happened.
Was
what like, did happen? What do you think it was? That
I don't know. You don't know. It just clicked.
I honestly don't know. I think maybe the fact that I come out The Wanted and I was probably really down about that, but didn't have time to
process it.
Think about it. Yeah, because I then got in Glee. And then when Glee ended, I then started processing that I was out of that because that was such a high. But yeah. then at the same time, I still had that come straight on the back of the wanted. So I was still on a high from that. And yeah. I think the two just collided. And then it was like, I don't know how to deal with my life. But I felt fine. It was frustrating for me because I know that I'm, like I say, very, very lucky to be in the position and have my family and yeah. everything. And so it was frustrating, but I just... It just happened.
No, but what's interesting, like what's amazing is that, so it's not amazing at all, but I think that your body, what happens, especially with anxiety and something like depression, is that your body doesn't, it's when you're doing things like you're on a high doing the wanted or then you're doing Glee, your body doesn't allow you to kind of pack it in. You're on sort of the mm-hmm. reserves. You're in that flight mode where you're going. And then when everything stops, that's when you go, huh, and your brain goes, see you later, and it just sort of crashes.
Well, I think also they say that you become, you know, like something good happens to you, like, you know, being achieving your dreams in a band or being, you know, like you said, on Glee, and you know that being a dream come true. Apparently, when something good happens to you, the novelty wears off quite quickly. Right. Whereas if something bad happens to you, you tend to sort of grieve something bad for sometimes years. So mm-hmm. I guess there's that constant dopamine starvation when you actually leave, right? Or when you're out of that high.
You're so right. Because you're so right, Franz, because something, you know, Maxi, being on stage in front of all these people, that sort of dopamine rush is constant all the entire time. Bam, 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 next tour. And then you stop. But I'm so thankful that you shared that, because I had an experience where I had something called depersonalization, which is, I didn't know what the hell it was. Similarly to you, so yours sort of manifested in throwing up. Mm-hmm. I basically woke up one day, and it wasn't actually one day, I remember sitting in a restaurant and I had a lot of stress. And basically what happens is your body gets put in autopilot. It's like the only way I can describe it is like a fog that comes over your eyes. And I felt like I was in a dream state. It's called depersonalization. Lots of people have experienced and do experience it. And your body basically protects you because you've had so much anxiety or you've been depressed or you've had PTSD or whatever it is. So it goes into this protection mode. And like you, I was like that for 6 months. 6 months, waking up every single day, this fog, I was like, what the hell's going on? And I remember I was on holiday and I was resting and then suddenly it just lifted. Suddenly, and I was like, same with you. It was suddenly this relief. I was like, oh my God, I'm back to normal. I was like, what's happened? I don't know. And it was, there were lots of things that had caused it, but you realize that rest, looking after your body, probably not drinking as much, all these different things that mm-hmm. help it. But when it does suddenly lift, it's the most amazing thing. And I always say that to everyone who ever talks about mental health, things like that. The hardest thing is to believe that it's going to pass. Because when you're in you don't think it's ever going to go. Did you have the same thing?
Because for me, I didn't understand. And that was why I didn't think I could get out of it, because I thought the only way I can get out of it is if I actually know what's causing it and what's wrong.
Really?
And I didn't know at the time. So for me, it was like, it was happening. How can I do something about something that I don't know what it is? Mm. So I was just stabbing in the dark, like trying to figure out how to cope with it.
And you try and change everything. You don't drink coffee. It must be the caffeine. It must be the fact that I'm eating chocolate at 6 a.m. or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have these absurd things.
I stopped drinking because I was always really heavy drinker.
Yeah.
So I gave that up. Like you say, coffee, anything that would like sort of stimulate you to be like, I stopped and it didn't do anything. And so, and just one morning and luckily, and such would, you know, I have episodes sure. where I feel anxious, or I wake up one day and I can feel myself. Only a few days ago, like, Stace knows it, because she was like, what sort? I was like,
just not feeling right.
Just having one of them. And I actually, it happens physically with me. I get like these red hives come up all over my back. And really? She was like, Max, you've got, I was like, I know. And she went, what's wrong? I said, there's literally nothing wrong. It's just happening today. But because I've just know how to deal with it better now. And I think, like you said before, anyone that is struggling with it, I think a nice thing to know is that when that moment happens and you're out of it, it's the best feeling. Like over anything I've done in my career, where I've had the highest of highs, coming out of the other side of that was the single best feeling personally I've ever had. Because I just sat down and was like, I've got my life back now.
Mm. I mean, do you feel like good in a way, because you get to experience that good feeling coming out of the anxiety?
I think no, sorry. I just when especially when you don't, you can't accept what it is that's going on. I think for people going through that, it, you will get through it. That's one thing, and the feeling when you do it, it is awesome. But would I rather have not have gone through it, because it was horrible.
Yeah,
because I think what people don't realize when you experience something like that is that how debilitating it is to your life. And so it's not, I think what Max is saying, it's not so much that you enjoy the sort of feeling of coming out of it. It's more the fact that you feel you're in such a horrible place that when you come out of it, you're so relieved that you're not feeling that way, that you're back to yourself, that you just appreciate life so much more.
That's exactly it. It's appreciating, like, realizing how lucky you are just to have that, the life that you just have, even if it's just a day where you don't do anything. To not be in that hole, it's like just chilling at home's great. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it just makes everything. So if I had the high of being in The Wanted now, appreciating the way, I mean, I'd probably die because I'm not sure my heart or brain could handle it. Because I'd just be like, oh my God. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Max,
so what do you feel like you just sort of took it for granted a bit when it was happening?
I just don't think I realized like how lucky I was at the time.
You never do. You know, it's all hindsight, right? Everything's always hindsight, pretty much.
Mm.
Unless you're good with your awareness. And, you know, everything's like that, you know. And then also, Francis, if we look back at our early days...
That's why you have to cherish the moment. Yeah, that's why you have to enjoy the day, you know, be in the present.
Yeah, but that's very easy to say that now that we know stuff. But, you know, if we look back at our days at the beginning of Made in Chelsea when we were, you know, we thought we were famous and we were drinking a lot and we were, you know, going out there and things like that. You know, we definitely were like, this is just sweet. And you just think this is amazing and all these, and you don't, and now looking back, it was a lot of fun. But the damage we also did to ourselves, oh my God, it was just like, you know, we did a lot of damage to ourselves in lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. But Max was so brilliant. I think you said to me, Maxie, when the first time we met, I just knew, I was like, he's such a good boy. And he said to me, I said, you know, he said, oh, I'm just going to try and think as soon as Sunday comes and we've done it, I just think, oh, I'll just be watching Match of the Day soon, so it's all right. And that's the thing that you've been thinking. God, I'll just be sitting at home watching Match of the Day, so it's all right.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's appreciating normality. So it was like, once this is done, I can just go back to normality. And I did. I was watching Match of the Day a lot sooner than what was predicted by the bookies.
But honestly, Maxie, I do really appreciate you sharing that, because we talk a lot about things like that, and also coming from a man, a young guy, you know, a young successful guy like yourself, lots of people resonate with it, because people don't realize that everyone experiences different things, ever how successful or not successful you are, and lots of people feel alone a lot of the time. And
well, often it's people who are successful because they sort of suddenly achieve that success and realize, wait, I thought this was going to make me happy and solve all my problems, but you realize that actually there's some sort of lack of meaning that you don't produce from the success. You've actually got to find that in other things, which don't, you know, you don't need money to get. It's just more time and commitment. Responsibility.
If we had to go really deep now, Maxi, what do you think? What do you think the key to happiness is? Is that too deep for us?
Match of the day on Sunday. I honestly, there's so many things that have made me happy for a long time. But I think, for me, it's my family. Like, for me, genuinely. Like, I can live away. I speak to my family every day, though. And I think lockdown, like, my nan turned 90 yesterday. And not being a... My nan's, like, been an integral part of my life, like, my upbringing. So to not be... Because my dad's acting as her carer, like, I can't see her. And yesterday, it really hit me. So it sounds like cliche, but it's probably family that makes me happy. And just being comfortable with yourself and knowing your limits, because you know, I like you said before, Jamie, like, I look back and I like wrecked myself for quite a long time, where there wasn't a moment that I didn't have a beer bottle in my hand. Do you know what I mean? So. Don't overdo it.
And it's so interesting, Maxie, you're so right saying that. And also, I think maybe you didn't, but I neglected my family for a long time because I thought I was this and I thought I was that, and I just, you know, wouldn't spend Christmases with them because I wanted to go and do something else and different things. I wanted to be in Barbados on the beach. And actually what you realize is family is the most important thing, because at the end of the day, when everything's lost and everything's gone and you're down in your hands and knees, the people who are going to pick you back up are your family. And I think a lot of people forget that family is so important.
Yeah, they are. And like I say, they've always been the main, that's why I say my family, because only last Christmas and the one before, so 2019, 2020, are the only Christmases that I've spent away from home, because I now live with Stacey. 2018 and before that, I'd still go and stay with my mum Christmas Eve and spend Christmas with my mum, even though my brother was with his girlfriend. I just always wanted to be at home. So actually last Christmas, 2019, it felt really weird not going downstairs with my mum to check if Santa... Do you know what I mean? It sounds so weird.
You and your mum checking if Santa's arrived?
Yeah. I still wasn't allowed downstairs first. I still stayed in my single bed that I've had since I was like four. It's comfort. It's my comfort place. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't swing a cat in there, but I love it. Fucking brother had a king size bed.
Oh, Maxi. Honestly, buddy, I knew that this podcast was going to be an absolute winner, and it just blown everything out of the window. It's just so great. Your honesty, just who you are, it's just awesome. Hey, Francis, on that note, we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
So, do you remember what the question was?
Yeah, how many times does the blood pump around the body in a day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jamie, you said 1 million.
I said 3 million.
I thought you said 5 million.
I said 5 million. I said 5 million. Yeah, Max said 2,000.
But and you said 2,000. The answer is actually 1,500. So, Max, you're not far with your BPM.
Look at Max's smug little face. He's so smug with that. Look, he's so smug.
Have that Bolton School.
Bolton School. Not to really just destroy all of the Bolton fans out there. Bolton is one of the worst places I've been. It's really not nice.
Mate, you know what's weird about Bolton? Yeah, it's not the best. But somehow I got into private school, and Bolton is a private school. I got in, and the teachers used to remind me every day how lucky I was to be there, because they saw my entrance exam and how bad it was, right? Like, I give a shit.
You give a shit.
They're like, oh, I'm going to hit him deep here. I saw your entrance exam. It was appalling. Oh, God. You've ripped my heart out. And what's so weird is Stacey's kids go to Bolton School, and some of them, the teachers are still there, right? And my favourite teacher, Dr. Holland, he was an English teacher, the poshest man in the world, right? He used to have one of the magnifying glasses, like, you know, that they hang, and he looked through it. He was mint on. And I parked outside and he came out. I was waiting for Zach. And I went, all right, sir. And he came over and slapped me across the face.
Did he actually? Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, teachers have a huge influence on us. And you remember the good ones. You 100% remember the good ones.
The good ones are great.
Oh, without a doubt. Hey, Maxie, listen, we've taken up far too much of your time. I just wanted to say to you, dude, you know, like I said, you're freaking great in every single way. You're hilarious, you're humble, you're everything. And the biggest shame, I think, on Strictly Come Dancing was the fact that people didn't get to spend enough time with you. Because you spend time with you and you want to spend it forever with you. You're great.
Thanks,
in every way.
Mate.
No, honestly, dude. Listen, everyone go and check out Max on Instagram and stuff like that. Maxie, do you have any projects up and coming that are super exciting?
No. So yeah, you can watch me taking my dog for a walk on my Instagram, cutting weird shapes into my hair.
Look at that haircut.
And it's fucking terrible. No, to be honest, there's a few things that I'm talking about at the minute, but nothing. There's nothing at the moment. Stuff like acting stuff all got put on hold. Some film movies and stuff that I'm going to be doing at the end of the year. Oh, there's a movie that I shot just before Strictly that should be coming out in March, I think. The whole thing is putting it out in March, which is, it's also going on like the gaming platform, so you can choose whether I die or not, that kind of thing.
I'm gonna make sure you die. 100%.
Yeah, I'll make sure. Oh, make sure I die. My dying scene was my favourite bit.
Really?
But yeah, it was brutal. I get tortured to death. So make sure you click on the
what, so it's a video game movie.
So yeah, it's a movie, but it also goes on like Xbox and stuff where you can pick what happens in the story.
Oh my god, epic.
Like the Black Mirror episode.
That's it, yeah, exactly. Just not quite that budget. But if you want to do any more podcasts, Jamie, I do have time in my diary.
Mate, we would love that. Maxie, honestly, dude, thank you so much. What we'd like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational. Over to you, Max George.
Over to me?
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's been a pleasure being on this podcast. It's made me feel very positive. I've not moved all day, you know. I've been sat here all day.
Waiting.
So, yeah, well, not even waiting, just doing nothing. So I hope everyone at home's well. Huge thanks to the NHS for everything you're doing. And Jamie, Francis, thanks a lot. Love you lots. And Francis, I'm sure you've got a wonderful dick.
Oh, thank
you. Maxie, thank you so much. Everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.